Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with CEO Mark Charnay from the American Prosperity Group Franchise Opportunity. The American Prosperity Group, a 10-plus unit franchise concept headquartered in Wayne, New Jersey, was founded by Mark, a certified annuity specialist, with a mission to continue helping people solve their individual problems, successful retirement, and estate planning. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open? Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Having a fine week, Marty. How's things with you?
Good, good. Same here. Enjoying the summer. It's going by fast, you know.
Yeah, yeah, getting into latter July, it's really flying by.
It's amazing, I know. It's going into August, you know. So, yeah, I'm probably going to take, you know, a couple days vacation sometime in August. I know you and I, since we've been doing the show 4 years now, we've been taking a little break for the last 2 weeks in August, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, it's not too much to ask.
No, I don't think so. Absolutely. Our last show, Don, we met with Chris McIntyre, who is the president of Eagle Rider Franchise Opportunity. And Eagle Rider is the world's largest motorcycle rental and tour company, specializing in Harley-Davidson rentals, ATV rentals, dirt bike rentals, and watercraft rentals. This was a different kind of show for us. It was a great story, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just real interesting. I never knew much about this franchise, and then hearing that they have over 100 locations, they're in 12 countries, that you can have a business, you know, renting out these specialty type. You know, whether it's motorcycle or dirt bike, ATV, watercraft type of vehicles. It's real interesting that, you know, you can have a business and be successful with it. It seems like such a fun type of business.
Yeah, it is. That's what I think it is. I think it's one of those feel-good franchise opportunities, you know what I mean? It's, you know, people come back, it sounds like, you know, and they had a blast. It's changed their lives. You know, it's something that I've always dreamed about doing. I never rode a motorcycle really growing up, you know, so you know, but it's interesting. I mean, it's a pretty big market too. I mean, when he was giving the you know, the stats for this market, I mean, it's a pretty big industry, you know. So, and I left the show saying, damn, why didn't I think of that? You know, to me it was one of those great entrepreneurial stories that we hear sometimes, you know. It's it was just amazing. So yeah, and it's amazing how many countries they're in, and I like to, you know, keep our eye on them and watch their growth over time. I think you're going to hear more from these guys in the future. So it was great having them on the show.
Yeah, he did well explaining the history. And
he did. He was very passionate. You know, and that's sometimes the interesting thing, you know, is when you bring the founder of the company on, you know, and they're so passionate about it, and you hear, you know, how he got into it, you know, the whole story, and it sounded like this was meant to be. This was his calling, you know. So,
right.
Yeah, we'll have to watch for them. It'd be neat to meet them at like a franchise show or something like that, you know, and talk to them again. So, yeah. So, what do we got going on today, Don?
Having a franchise, Marty, called American Prosperity Group, based here right in New Jersey. The CEO, Mark Charnay, is going to be on. So, we're looking forward to hearing about this service and
this
why
kind of
he
interesting
thought it
too, isn't it? But it's something different for us, isn't it? I don't think we've had, in the 4 years we've been doing the show, something like this.
A you know, financial franchise. Yeah.
Right, right. So it's, again, great to add to our library, you know? And it's funny, Don, since we've been doing the show, you see a lot more new industries, you know, popping up, don't you?
Right.
The longer we stay in, you know, in franchising. So it really is amazing. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to having Mark on the show today, and yeah, he's kind of sort of in your neck of the woods. I guess he's north of you guys. So.
And this is what our show is bringing to our audience. I mean, here, you know, a couple months ago, we didn't know too much about these franchises.
Right.
And now we've added the, you know, after today's show, we'll have a couple more in our archive for people to consider as they're looking at franchise investments.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you know, it's it's been amazing how the library just keeps on growing and growing, you know, and I notice that people keep staying on the site longer and longer and longer, you know, so
right.
it is something, you know, it's really
as usual,
great,
we have our pipeline of upcoming shows. I think you mentioned somebody interesting's on next week, right?
Got AMCO next week. That's
AMCO Transmission Automotive.
It's amazing
franchise.
That we've taken so long to get them on the show, you know. It's you and I are both familiar with AMCO, of course. You know, I'm being here in Pennsylvania. You know, AMCO is a famous company. I think this is where they got their start. And AMCO, doesn't it stand for, was it the Anthony Martino Company?
Right, exactly.
Anthony,
that, you know, people don't know how the name AMCO.
That's
and
right.
He was the one
that
started Mako, and, you know, he's. I also believe the Goddard School, he's been involved in three or four franchise systems, with at least three of them being very successful. Fortunately, he passed away a couple years ago. But, yeah,
he's
he was
a legend
founder.
In franchising. Yeah.
Right.
In fact, I think when we first started the show, I think we wanted, you were the one who actually recommended getting him on the show. And, you know, fortunately, we were never able to get Mr. Martino on the show. But, yeah, it's going to be nice to have AMCO on the show as well. I've, you know, always admired their franchise systems. So, yeah, so we got some exciting things definitely coming up. And I know you had some interesting articles that we needed to discuss this week for our listeners as well.
Yeah, here's an interesting article, Marty. Entrepreneurs could push the economy forward. Laid-off employees turning to franchises, other startups, by Tammy Joyner and David Markowitz. This is with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. What a difference a recession makes, it starts out. College buddies Dan Ketmayora and James Kinn gone from selling high-tech know-how to serving up sushi. The pair bought a franchise in Milton after being laid off last year. Instead of waiting on the recovery to yield more corporate jobs for them, they became their own bosses. Likewise, Roger Panich and Mike Connors took the self-employment route via franchising when the corporate road proved too bumpy. Panich, a former pharmaceutical sales rep and executive recruiter, now hauls people's junk for a living. Connors, who lost his job as a comptroller at a credit card company, now sells cell phones and wireless devices. The U.S. economy slogs toward recovery. Many Americans laid off from or fed up with corporate America are taking control of their lives with help, in many cases, from franchises. Franchises are enticing would-be entrepreneurs with a variety of incentives, including lower entry fees. Could the surge in entrepreneurs be just what the country needs to further revive the sluggish U.S. economy? It's a question I'm asking you. Now, that was in the article.
It's interesting as you're reading this, though, Don. You know, and I'm just listening. It's a fantastic article. I mean, it's talking about a culture change happening here in the United States. I mean, it really is one of those deep articles. And it's amazing how many times we've referenced people coming from pharmaceutical companies. My my dad worked for the pharmaceutical industry. God, I think it was like 30 years. And it was always like one of those safe industries. And what I noticed in you reading these articles and going through the internet is a lot of people seem to be coming from the pharmaceutical industry, you know, and I never imagined that. You know, getting into franchising, it always seemed like a safe job, but there's this kind of like revolution almost against corporate America. There's not that security that your dad or my dad once had, you know, so it is kind of interesting. So, it's a great article.
It's a key to solving the big problem of huge segments of people who've been left behind in this recession, says John Challenger, chief executive of the Chicago outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas, which tracks workforce and economic trends. Entrepreneurs may lead the recovery, he says. On a deeper level, the rise in new business owners also signals an historic shift in what will drive the U.S. economy in the future. Unlike past downturns, this one holds unique peculiarities. For one, many of the industries that helped pull the country out of past recessions, autos and banks, have faced devastating, irreversible problems this go-round and aren't likely to reprise their roles as labor market saviors. No way is the recovery going to happen without the increase in entrepreneurs, said Dane Stangler, research manager at the Kansas City, Missouri-based Kaufman Foundation, one of the world's largest foundations devoted to entrepreneurship. In the 20 or 30 years, we're going to look back on this recession and will be a mark on the historic timeline where we precisely moved away from old-line industrial capitalism into full-fledged entrepreneurial capitalism. An interesting quote.
Huh. Right.
And I think a lot of us knew that. I mean, this has been such a devastating, great recession that a lot of people, you know, we've talked about a few times. I got lucky that one day and came out with that forced entrepreneurship. But really, that's what's happening, where people are out of work, they're downsized, they can't, they've lost confidence in the workforce. They do go back into the workforce, they're making a lot less, which they really don't want to do.
Right.
And they have to look at other options. Options that's going to get them back to the level they were at, if not even more. And a lot of people always have the dream of owning their own business, and maybe they've built up a little savings, and now maybe's the time. And this current economy and job situation is forcing them to do it.
Exactly.
So it's a very interesting time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, it was interesting. I mean, just watching this week, you know, try not to talk too much about politics on the show, but, you know, you see the president get on the show with, like, three individuals. I think it was on ABC I was watching, or NBC. But he gets on with three individuals, Don, that have been unemployed now for I don't know how long, you know, just having trouble getting a job, you know.
Right.
And you wonder if any of these people have ever thought about going into their own business. Now, again, that's not enough reason, by the way, you know, to go into your own business, particularly franchising. You know, I mean, again, if you're not good at following a system or rules or procedures, it's probably not for you. You know, and I'm not suggesting that all three of them should have got into franchising, but you wonder if anyone brought it to their attention, you know, as an option. You know, it's again, the safer way, if you can follow a system, to go into business. You know, so it is kind of interesting. It's a great article. It's what we
goes on, Marty, saying
now.
Recovery. I'm sorry.
I was just saying, it's what we've been talking now for like the last like year and a half, 2 years. You know.
Right. Yeah, we've read all of you know a lot of these type of articles. Some usually have a different twist on it.
Right.
It goes on. Recovery aside, the latest crop of entrepreneurs are breaking records and assumptions. Creation of new businesses has surged to a 14-year high, surpassing even the kinetic pace of startups during the peak of the tech boom a decade ago, according to Kaufman Index of Entrepreneurial Activity, a key barometer of the nation's new business activity. Some 558,000 new businesses were created each month last year, Kaufman reports. The ranks of the self-employed rose to 8.9 million in December, up from 8.7 million the year before. Recent government data shows that more Americans have quit their jobs by choice than were fired, indicating that some may be striking out on their own. And the new entrepreneurs appear more diverse than their predecessors. Many of the businesses are being started by Americans who are 55 years or older, dispelling the idea that entrepreneurship is a young person's game.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting, too. A lot of, people in their 50s, even 60s, have been burned a little bit and with their retirement accounts or their savings, and they're nervous about Social Security. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things.
Of course.
But they've built up some good experience over time, still have some money, and are either doing it because they've always wanted to own their own business and want to get back in and just to do something, or, a certain percentage have to because of what the recession has done.
Yeah, I'm amazed, you know, in the article how they're saying that, you know, a lot of them just did it voluntarily. I'm kind of asking myself, what would make them do it voluntarily? You know, like what's going on in corporate America that's making them do that, you know? And the only
thing I'm thinking maybe their health insurance was taken away, their hours were reduced, or the staff is more limited so they're working harder and longer, or new boss. I mean, there could be a whole bunch of reasons. But, yeah, it's unusual when it's so hard to get a job that people are leaving their job, but there's probably a whole bunch of reasons why they were leaving.
Right. And you say, what is happening? And I agree with you. I think a lot of the things that you suggested, you know, they're working longer hours and they're having things taken away from them as well, you know, whether it's, you know, matching their 401k plan or whatever it may be. Or the guy that sat next to them got let go, so they've taken over their job, you know. So as you said, they're working twice as hard, you know, and they're not seeing anything for it. So it's definitely not a motivating situation. It's one of those things of saying, okay, well, your motivation is this. We're going to let you keep your job, but you're going to work twice as hard. We're going to take this away and that away and whatever it may be.
This Dane Stangler quoted saying that, you know, this will mark on the historic timeline where we precisely moved away from old-line industrial capitalism into full-fledged entrepreneurial capitalism. Our friend Robert Needham at Franchise Inc., I mean, he saw this a year and a half ago, that this is going to be the great revolution of people owning their own business, being an entrepreneur, getting into franchising because of what's happening throughout America. So it's very interesting. It goes on, Marty. Those nuggets of good news have gotten lost among the monthly jobs reports that show a job market still mired in chronic unemployment. Even now, as the recovery emerges, the number of long-term unemployed, those out of work for more than 6 months, remains at 6.8 million. That's nearly half of all jobless Americans, which is unprecedented in the 62 years the government has been tracking such data. There's a huge segment of people being left behind, said Challenger, whose firm produces its own entrepreneurial activity index. I know you write a lot of papers, Marty, for what you're doing. This might be a good company to speak to for information, entrepreneurial
absolutely.
Stuff. The latest Challenger Index released earlier this year also shows a four-year high in the number of jobless executives and managers who started companies last year. Add to that list the people with jobs who are itching to strike out on their own, and the ranks of the self-employed can't help but grow. Once you know you can start a business and get projects and deliver your expertise, it gives you an extra measure of security in downturns, Challenger said. having a hard time. I'm having a hard time reading today.
No, it's okay. But it's a great article, Don. I mean, it's one of the better ones that we've discussed in a long time. You know, it's they're talking about what's going on right now. You know, I mean, in America. You know, and I think there's this cultural change. And I mean, one of the best things that you came out with, which I always wish I came out with, was that forced entrepreneurship word.
Right.
You know, it's just it's so true. I mean, again, the article is saying that it's had a little to do with forced entrepreneurship, but again, there's something going on in corporate America. It's funny, as you read these articles, you know, and you're right, I do write a lot. I say, wow, that would be a great topic, you know, to write about. It's what's going on in corporate America to make people leave their jobs, you know, and go into franchising or whatever it may be, you know.
I don't know if you heard me. I said, I'll sell you entrepreneurship, forced entrepreneurship, if you
want. That's what I knew. As a business person, I knew you would sell it to me. You have a copyright Twitter.
Now, we'd like to read statistics. Franchising grew more than 40% between 2001 and 2008, and is forecast to increase slightly this year by 2% or 18,000 establishments, according to the IFA, Franchise Business Outlook for 2010 forecast. In 2009, the number of franchises decreased by 0.1%. After the recession in 2000-2001, the franchise industry created more than 140,000 new businesses and 1.2 million jobs over a five-year period. But starting a business, as we know, isn't necessarily a slam dunk. Raising capital, which can amount to hundreds of thousands for startups, continues to be a problem for many would-be entrepreneurs. Franchising prospects still must pay a franchise fee, cover the cost of building and construction, renovation, and buy merchandise and equipment. Once in operation, there are royalties that must be paid. And an article goes on talking about companies are looking for innovative ways to help franchisees get into business. Atlanta-based Huddle House, for example, has slashed its franchise fee from the usual $25,000 to just $5,000 this year, and its franchisees get a five-month pass on royalty fees.
Wow.
That's pretty nice.
I think that's fantastic, and we're seeing that as a trend now, aren't we? You know, I mean, I think we've referenced probably about a dozen cases of franchises just like Huddle House doing that, either totally waiving the franchise fee or dropping it down to a minimal amount, like Huddle House did at $5,000. You know, and I always say that, you know, and again, it's not my money, Don, but I think it's really one of the best times to consider getting into franchising. I'm just looking from, like, even like the location factor as well. You know, I still notice a couple great locations. Eastern Pennsylvania is actually starting to explode, you know, and like the main street in Easton, a lot of franchises actually going up and upscale restaurants and things like that. There's a couple places available, and I said, God, who's the person that's going to grab that spot that's right by the water, you know what I mean, and you know, turn it into something amazing, because I think the landlords right now are giving some killer deals for franchises as well. In fact, I think you've referenced that on several occasions, that sometimes a landlord is more willing to give a, let's say, a 10-year lease or a deal anyway to a franchise because they have that track record of success, you know, as opposed to, you know, Tony's Pizzeria, who doesn't really have a track record, you know. You know, it's all about business and success rates and all that other stuff, you know. So it's interesting. This is a long article. I mean, who wrote this article?
Yeah, I'm only about halfway through it. Tammy Joyner, David Markowitz, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Okay, wow, you're reading that one now too, huh?
Yeah, it's interesting. It goes on. It talks about Wing Zone and Checkers are saving franchisees costs during the build-out phase and with architectural designs. And it says, Marty, the flurry of entrepreneurial activity is especially impressive considering many of the traditional routes to ownership are no longer available. In the past, people used a 401k retirement. They still do.
Right.
Or the equity they built up in their home. The recession, Wall Street meltdown, and housing bust have killed those options, says Sean Fitzgerald, Vice President of Franchise Development for Connecticut-based Wireless Zone. People are having a hard time getting financing, and that's when we got creative, he says. We knew that there were a lot of good quality candidates who couldn't get loans.
Right.
This one guy, Roger Penich, chose college hunks hauling junk. That's a franchise we should have on one day.
Yeah, I think I've heard of them actually in one of the articles.
And you know, that's a low-cost franchise. It's a fun business model, says Panich, who has 3 employees and a truck. We plan to hire more people. We're allowing tomorrow's leaders to haul your junk today.
Mm.
You know, I can imagine if a parent reads that, their college, you know, their college boy is going to be a big moving up the corporate ladder, but he's hauling junk.
Exactly.
But if
I
he
know,
owns, you know,
is.
But if he owns the franchise, you know, that's, yeah, that's being an entrepreneur.
No, it's true. It's about business, and it's about a system that you're following. You know what I mean? And yeah, there's some great systems out there that you know, aren't necessarily going to cost. We've had all types of franchises on our show, Don, in 4 years. You know, some
right.
low cost, some high cost. You know, but yeah, I mean, there are opportunities out there. The challenge of this for our listeners is finding that right opportunity. You know, of course, finances do come into it. That's one of the factors, but also something that's going to be right for you. Can you see yourself doing this, you know, every single day, you know, and there's a lot of things that you have to ask yourself. What do you want this franchise to do for you? Are you looking to spend more time with your family? Are, you know, you looking to make it into, you know, a family business? I mean, there's a lot of different elements there. So it's...
Right.
Wow. I mean, it's a great article, you know, so I think it's something that we're going to have to go back and possibly discuss next week as well, or we could finish it off, you know, so good. Great job, Don. And I can see Mark has called in, so why don't we do this, Don? We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team,
Big Mouth,
as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today because we're meeting with CEO Mark Charnay from the American Prosperity Group Franchise Opportunity. An American Prosperity Group, a 10-plus unit franchise concept headquartered in Wayne, New Jersey, was founded by Mark, a certified annuity specialist, with the mission to continue helping people solve their individual problems of successful retirement and estate planning. Hey, Mark, how you doing today?
Excellent. How are you?
Great, Mark. Mark, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson. I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Mark.
Appreciate you coming on, Mark. We're happy to hear all about your franchise. You're a Jersey boy, huh?
I am a Jersey boy through and through, though I was born on the other side of the Hudson in Brooklyn.
Well,
oh,
my dad,
great.
My dad's from there, so, you know, that's fine. We'll still, you know, keep you on for the next half an hour.
Well, thank you.
Well, I'll be extra nice to you, Mark, because I'm also from Brooklyn as well. You know, originally Brooklyn and then came out to Jersey and then moved to the other side of the river, Pennsylvania, you know. So that's fantastic. Mark, I know you have a great story. What were you doing before starting American Prosperity Group?
I've been in the financial services, the retirement and estate planning field now for 29 years. So I had my own company, my own concern, and it was so successful that I felt it was a crime to keep it to myself, so I decided to franchise it and give others the opportunity to realize the same success.
That's great.
So tell us about American Prosperity Group, the details, please.
Well, we believe that there are only three kinds of people as it pertains to their money, and that would be those who are accumulating it for their future, those who are living on it for the present, and then those who are passing it on when they go. And all three of these groups of people are prospects for the services that APG franchisees perform in the course of their retirement and estate planning operation. And today, as in always, the education that one receives in the formal school systems or educational track that most people pursue is lacking in three most important areas of life. They never teach in school how to be a good parent, how to be a good spouse, and how to manage your money. And they might have some classes now on parenting, and there's still no classes on being a spouse that I'm aware of. And some of the teachers now are starting to take some courses so they can teach some basic fundamentals of financial services, like how to open up an account someplace, how to read a brokerage statement. But that's in its infancy, and for all these years, there's been no formalized training on how to accumulate money for your future. And it's really amazing. The federal government decided to track what is a dollar worth in 1967, and that was called the Consumer Price Index. And they declared that $1 is $1 in 1967, and we'll always compare back to that dollar to see what is it worth today. Well, the answer today, 43 years later, is 15 cents. So in 43 years, according to the Consumer Price Index, the dollar has shrunk 85% in value. And so if I take a look at my children, I have four, and the eldest is 22 years old, if her goal in 43 years from now is to retire, and her goal is to accumulate $10 million, which is a huge goal and responsibility to reach that, but $10 million, is, if inflation gets no worse over the next 43 years, it'll only be worth $1.5 million. And $1.5 million, you put that in a bank at roughly 5%, assuming it might be making that at that time, would be $75,000 of income. Take off at least 40% in taxes, and then we're down to like under $50,000 a year. So imagine that. You have to be a decamillionaire to be able to retire with an income in 2010 dollars of $50,000 a year. If you understand this equation, it presents such a monumental task for young people today to be able to plan for their future and Social Security being pushed further and further away and getting less and less relative to inflation,
right,
how are people going to make it? And so as parents, we want to bless our children with huge sums of money. So especially if you have more than one child, you have to divide it up by certain percentages to each kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to live yourself comfortably and maintain your standard of living and not have to read the menu from the wrong side when you go out. So the pressure and stress of people who are concerned about the future, financially speaking, is ominous. I mean, it's really scary out there.
Right.
And
right,
the earlier you learn the rules and you apply them, the better off the chances are you're going to reach success.
Yeah, Mark, I have been in business financing over 10 years in the franchise funding industry. So I review a lot of personal financial statements of people looking to buy a franchise or start one up, and it's just scary the number of people who just don't have that cash reserve or just simply money in retirement. These are people in their 40s, 50s, 60s. I wonder what they're doing. Has this recent recession that's still going on, I mean, has this helped or hurt your company?
Well, you know, yesterday in the paper, on the front page, it showed the president was a New Jersey guy who worked at a Honda dealership who was laid off 20 months ago and is still, you know, unemployed. And
right,
it got some extended benefits when the government signed an extension package. The fact that inflation has been low has masked for most people the severity of the debt creation of our government. And what this means to them, an increased and prolonged taxation, both at the state level, the town level, the federal level, because effective leaders are few and far between on how to say, no, we're going to stop spending, let's tax more. And people who've lost their job in most cases are a couple of months away from bankruptcy. And it's really, really bad. But no matter if it's a good economy or a bad economy, our business opportunity flourishes. Because when people have to are forced to look at their financial statements and see where they are and see where they need to be, that just is fuel for the fire. So our industry, unlike most, is absolutely recession-proof, inflation-proof, deflation-proof. It's a wonderful business where everyone must be concerned about their financial futures and at least their financial present, where they are right now, especially if they're forced into retirement by a layoff, downsizing, buyout, an injury, disability, or they just reached an age where they are not working any longer. And at the same token, they can't afford to make a mistake with their portfolio. Imagine if the market drops 25-30% again, and it will, and they're exposed to that and they lose that money plus the income that it can produce, it might be irreparable. Because if you're taking money out to live on and it's dropping simultaneously, you've taken away those principal dollars forever, and it might not come back. And, you know, if a dollar drops by 50%, you got to make 100% to break even. And
I think a good thing out of this recession is more people are being more careful with their money. They're saving more. I was just reading an article about that this morning. But also it's having them to look at their retirement and say, you know, they're getting nervous. Hey, we really have to address this. But there's a lot of people in their, 30s, when people should be starting to address their retirement, even in their, mid or late 20s. But now maybe they're starting to really, take a look at that, because time goes by quickly. Before you know it, you're starting to get up there in age and haven't properly laid out your game plan for your later years. So, what you're doing with APG is just a very important service.
And, you know, Marty, the people who are young when they get laid off or when they start noticing this, everything is repairable and fixable because they have the world's greatest asset in front of them, time. You know, small amounts of money over large spans of time can make someone wealthy. It's the folks who are at the end of their working career or already retired who will be the biggest sufferers and victims of what's going on if they're not prepared in advance. And that's what we at APG do. We take people that are vulnerable to the losses in the market, and we put them in scenarios where they can still be in the market, yet if something negative happens, their income will be unaffected. And that's part of our Trinity method of investing, which is copyrighted to APG. It's our silver bullet, if you will, and the message that we bring to the field and the people that we serve through our franchisees across the country.
And for an investor, Mark, who just, it was just mentioned a little bit, for an investor looking at APG to invest, how do you describe the franchise system to them? Just a couple of sentences.
As a potential franchisee?
Yes.
In becoming on board our company? Well, first of all, they have to have an interest in working with older folks. That's our marketplace, the retirees. They would have to have an affinity for numbers, not calculus or pi, but, you know, basic how to use a calculator. They have to enjoy or at least not be frightened by public speaking. They have to be warm and fuzzy and stroking and caring for the people that we serve. And they just have to be coachable. They need to be able to take some direction. They have to be bright enough to pass some industry-wide exams, both on the federal level and on the state level. And after that, we will provide them with every bit of information that they need to be successful in this venture. Training is ongoing and forever. We have weekly webinars, which are live interactive telecommunication with video to all of our franchisees. They can see me, I can see them, they can see each other. And this is an industry where you're not trained and you go out and do something. It's constantly evolving, and with tax law changes and others, that they have to be totally attuned to what's going on. So we have training that's ongoing and forever. And if they like the subject of money and they like helping people, their income is truly, in my opinion, unlimited.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And you said something important too, Mark, is being coachable and teachable. I was curious, the franchisees that you have now, what were some of them doing like in their previous lives or their previous careers?
Oh, that's an excellent question. Our number one franchisee had no experience in sales or financial marketing of products, and he was a computer geek, programmer.
Wow.
Number two was a safety and occupational hazard inspector for Duracell batteries. Another one was an accountant in an insurance agency. One more was working in the telecommunications field as a troubleshooter. Varied backgrounds from all sources. We would prefer to bring on board people who have no experience in our industry at all.
Right.
We would rather program these folks one time rather than debrief and deprogram first and then have to do it all over again.
Right.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's a lot of franchisors feel that way.
My God,
wholeheartedly. Get somebody fresh. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
How has technology played a role in your business today, Mark? I mean, you've been doing this a long time, so there's been a lot of changes in this industry. How has technology impacted?
You know, I started way back when, 3 decades ago, when you used a pencil, a pad, and a rate card. You know, someone would say, oh, I want this much insurance, and I would look up their age and say, okay, it's X amount per thousand, how many thousands do you want? And that was it. What technology has done to our industry has been nothing short of building a space station. I mean, absolutely amazing what has taken place. And the internet, number one, computers, number two, and the ease of which the software can be learned and the skills and techniques acquired and how to utilize that to maximize your presentations and the actual products that our people will enjoy is amazing. And technology has been a huge opportunity and a blessing for us in the financial services sector.
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to say that. Yeah, how big is the industry, Mark? Are there any numbers as far as how big this industry is?
We could end all conversations on that subject by saying that the insurance and financial services industry is the largest in the world. It's bigger than oil. It is the, you know, worldwide. For instance, the number one company in our industry globally is worth over $1 trillion, and number five is worth $900 billion. And so the top 100 companies have trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. And some of these names people would know, and some they would not. And what's interesting about that one subject, you know, we represent many companies. We're not captive to particular brands or styles or companies. And we can choose what we feel is best for our clientele. But what's interesting is a lot of the names that we utilize, people don't know the names. They're not household names. And the reason that is they don't spend the millions and billions that other companies do in advertising, fostering a belief that their company is the best or their products are the best. So instead, they spend that money on making a better, more cost-effective mousetrap. And it's interesting a concept that if you only pay for advertising after you receive a client, how much more cost-effective that can be than a company, let's say, like Budweiser, that puts, you know, millions and billions of dollars out there in advertising, not knowing how many ounces of beer it actually sells, but yet they're paying for those ads, hoping that that public domination will continue to drive people to their product. In our industry, some of the best companies and the boutique companies only spend dollars on advertising after they capture the client. So how do they do that? Well, by informing those of us in the industry of why they can take that money and reinvent products and make them better, more cost-effective, and greater growth potential, and we see that, we become their billboard for free. And then when we go out there and secure a client and we get paid a commission or compensation, that in effect paid for the advertising. Well, look how effective it was for them. They didn't waste any money on prospects that didn't come to the table. And I think that's a beautiful concept. And other businesses, if they can emulate that, would bring huge profits to the bottom line that the insurance and securities industry has already captured that technique.
Wow. You know, some of the proposed changes, I don't know all the details that our current administration is making on financing industries. I mean, is any of that going to be affecting, could it maybe affect your industry?
Absolutely, and in a tremendous positive way. The more that the government taxes people with money, the more they run for cover for tax-deferred and tax-free and tax-advantaged investment opportunities. And we are in all those areas. So this can be a boon to us. It's very, very exciting. And you know what most people don't understand, and it's really basic, is that the government makes no money. It makes no profit. It produces nothing. In order for it to give a dollar away, like we talked about before with the extension of the unemployment benefits, in order to give a dollar away, it's got to take it from someone else. And there are just not enough people who have it to give it to the volume of people who don't. And I'm not quantifying or qualifying the recipients, whether they're deserving or not, or if they have an illness, a disability, or an impairment where they really are justified to get the money, or someone who's cheating the system by taking advantage of the government's lack of supervision or verification. What I'm saying is that they take money from people who make it, and they give it to people who don't. And they're just not enough people wealthy enough to take all their money from. And so they're going to continue to tax and continue to make that burden worse. I mean, after January, just 6 months from now or less, the estate tax goes to 55%, where today it's zero. And if you're worth over $1 million, the first tax bracket is 41%. Can you imagine? The first dollar over $1 million federally, you'll have to pay 41% in tax. And when you get over $3.5 million, it'll be 55%, unless Congress does something in the interim. But you can imagine with all the debt that our president has created that the insatiable desire for capital, they're not going to take away estate taxes. I mean, dead people are the best people to tax because dead people don't vote. I mean, can you imagine them taking that away? Not going to happen. So it means anyone who's watched the TV show from years past, perhaps you did as well, and matter of fact, being on this radio show and doing what you do, I'm sure you watched this program. It was called Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous with Robin Leach. And
yep,
champagne
yep.
wishes and caviar dreams. And those of us who were young entrepreneurial people aspiring to build their fortune, never realizing that the government was going to take more and more and more of it. And the more you built, the more they took, the more success they had in taking it away. And it's
right.
just the opportunity for people to make it get slimmer and slimmer. You were discussing it before about financing franchises and other things. And now, with the ominous tax programs that we have and the debt that we have, it's only going to get worse. Therefore, people must invest tax-deferred. They must invest tax-free. They must put away more money to beat the tax man, not only inflation and possible negative markets worldwide, but they have to be putting away and make it a priority. No longer can it be, I'll get to it when I get to it, or a back burner operation. And this is fuel for the fire for people in our industry who understand human mentality, and we can get them to make it a front burner decision for them and not to procrastinate. Because indecision, as we all know, is a decision, and it's not a good one.
That's true. Mark, we have to take a quick break. Are you able to stick around for another segment?
Love to.
That's fantastic. We'll be right back with more Franchise Interviews.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919. Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future, and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchise entrepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. We're meeting with CEO Mark Charnay from the American Prosperity Group Franchise Opportunity. At American Prosperity Group, APG, a 10-plus unit franchise concept headquartered in Wayne, New Jersey, was founded by Mark, a certified annuity specialist, with the mission to continue helping people solve their individual problems, successful retirement, and estate planning. And Don, I think you're up.
Yeah, Mark, what's been the most interesting thing that's happened to you since joining American Prosperity Group? It's always an interesting question, right?
It's a fascinating question. The most interesting thing that's happened to me since starting APG, I have found that the entrepreneurial spirit in people has been dormant for a long time. Those people considering for the first time to be in business for themselves. And as we know, the concept is you're in business for yourself but not by yourself through the concept of franchising. And so they're a little hesitant about taking that plunge of becoming entrepreneurial self-employed. But once they get through the normal fears and barriers and overcome the objections of their friends and family not to do it, and they make that bold statement, they are really relieved and happy that they did. And when they find success, the accolades that came with that decision and the reinforcement that it was a good one by way of their income rising and their becoming successful is the most wonderful, fascinating thing that I've experienced through the world of franchising and specifically at APG.
Good. And as far as your future franchisees, you mentioned before, you'd like to really mold them into, exactly how APG would want them to perform their franchise services. But is there any specific characteristics you'd like them to have?
They have to be coachable, number one. That's the biggest issue, is that you can be entrepreneurial to a certain level, but if you want to reinvent the wheel of the franchisor, perhaps being self-employed of your own and starting your own business from scratch would be more appropriate for you.
Right.
But if you're coming into a system and you're paying money to buy that system, well, damn it, follow the system. And that is the most important characteristic that we're looking for.
That's great advice.
And
watch your mouth.
Can I add to that? I'm sorry, can I answer that? The work ethic. People need to have a work ethic. You can't, you know, write the check and throw your feet back and say, okay, I paid my dues. Let success come pounding down my door. It doesn't work that way. In any business, I'm not speaking only of ours, in any business, you have to make a name for yourself, you have to market, you have to brand, you have to put some perspiration behind the inspiration, and in our industry, no different. You know, in order to succeed in business, you have to have a uniqueness. A uniqueness in your marketing, a uniqueness in your product, and a uniqueness in you. So if you provide the uniqueness in you, we'll provide the other two uniquenesses, and then success is virtual guarantee.
Great advice,
Yeah, it's great advice. What's a typical day like, Mark, for your franchisees? I mean, it sounds like, you know, getting on the phone and making presentations and things like that. And I guess another question I should add to that is, a lot of your franchisees, can they work from home or their home office? Or
no, they have to have a location that the separate from their home that the public can come to. But we don't need to have a high traffic retail location that's very expensive that they have to lease or purchase. Not at all. But to narrow down your question to the bare bones essence. Either the APG franchisee, when he comes on board and he's fully licensed, there's 5 licenses that you need, 3 securities, 2 insurance licenses to be with us, and you come through our formal intensive training for a week here in New Jersey and then our ongoing training every week via the webinar. After you're out there and you're in between our normal marketing campaigns, which is to do a workshop for the public, no less frequently than 4 times a year, where we put an advertisement out to the community, invite people to come in and see what we're espousing, see what we're talking about, the financial topic of the day. But outside of that, and I would believe this would be true of any business, you're either you're prospecting for a sale or you're selling to a prospect. And everything that you do boils down to that one sentence. You're either looking for someone to market your product to or you're actually conducting and closing a sale. And that is true in our industry as well as any other.
What's the best way for our listeners, Mark, to get more information on becoming a franchisee? Are there any like websites they can go to, any numbers they can call?
Absolutely. For the listeners on your program, the best way to reach us is go to www.apgfranchise.com.
Okay, great. We'll put a link up there as well. I want to thank you again, Mark. You've been a fantastic guest, and Don and I would like to follow you guys and have you come back in the near future.
I would look forward to that. Thank you so much for having me, and best of luck and success to all your listeners.
Thank you so much, Mark. Have a great day and enjoy your summer.
You too. Thanks for the opportunity. Bye-bye.
Great job. Thanks.
Yeah, great concept, huh, Don?
Yeah, very important service. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who put this off in addressing their retirement and properly getting set up for it. And
something really you can't do. No, it's true. You really need a whole change in our culture. You know, I mean, we won't think about it. I think, you know, there are some good things that came out of this recession, as you were saying, you know, when we were talking to Mark, is, you know, people are thinking about these things, I think, a little more now, you know, than maybe they were, you know, 5-10 years ago, hopefully. You know what I mean? So it's one of those changes in culture. So, yeah, so great job, Don, today on segment one and throughout the rest of the show. And next week we have Anko Don, which should be interesting.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, so thanks everyone for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Marty.